Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is, oh, wow, it's June 1st, 2017. The world is in turmoil. Most still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. Excuse me. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. The shofar is serious, and that is what we need to do, is heed the warning. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates of the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, prayer requests can also be sent by United States Postal Service and email. Okay? Anyway, pray about it. We have a prayer request form on the right-hand side of Prophecy Hour, MessiahsBranch.com pages, so you can use that as also just a contact form. So, lots of ways to get a hold of us. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is also live, like right now on YouTube. It's live. And we're on the net internationally. We're on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. Today is June 1st, so that means radio airtime's due. On another note, and we'll change these next week, but let's thank our listener bases in places like Croatia, Australia, Nicaragua, Mexico, Madrid, Spain, and many, many other places. And, of course, cities in good old USA like Mesa, Arizona, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Seattle, Washington, Dallas, Texas, Plano, Texas, Town and Country, Florida. That list goes on and on and on. Of course, Washington, D.C., which is the second largest group of listeners when they go to our podcast, and Wichita remains the first. So pray about it, Wichita, about supporting the folks there in that city where we're at. Anyway, now a prayer, and we'll bring our next guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I really pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will nor our guest's will. Father, lift the veil from all of our eyes and give us all ears in which to hear and understand the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, today we're going to talk about Bible codes once again, as in them is the possibility that Russia and America would come together to get the last temple. The Bible is really clear, though, that Messiah, Yeshua, will build the Ezekiel temple. But many Bible teachers, many Bible prophecy teachers say there will be a temple and that the Antichrist will sit in and declare himself God. They claim that there has to be a temple. Now, why don't think it's as simply as clear as that? The real point is that if there is, it is indeed the case that a temple will be built and that it is in the Bible, then even though the building of a false temple could hurt, why would we try to stop it, as it would be a sign of the times, and it would prove we were much closer, we think, to Yeshua's return? Well, you see, so many things. So let's stop this or that for a while. So many say, let's stop this or that for a while, but they want. It seems like, are we trying to prolong it? I just say, come on, Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. You know, let's see what happens. So today, We bring on our guest that's been on with us before, of course. He is the one that we are talking to about Bible codes, that runs the codes, that found the code. We talked before about the ancient evil. That church is still bringing out more and more and more. And at some point soon, we're going to have to address that. The researcher also tried a code I gave him about the temple, and that's why we're talking about this. So we bring back on with us Tom Mack, who is a school principal and owner at White Cottage Publishing Company. He lives in Trinidad, Colorado. He is an A-certified computer technician, a NET-certified network technician, as well as a book designer, webmaster. He has a lot of lists of other things that he's been, but we won't waste, well, it isn't a waste of time, because you can go over to his website and check him out for himself. Anyway, he's not a fly-by-night person. He's well-suited to doing Bible codes, and he's a very credible witness. He started his research with Bible codes back in 1996, and that's 20-plus years of code research. So tonight, we'll go further and see what the codes are telling us. Welcome now, Tom Mack.
Hi, how's it going there? How is your Shavuot?
Well, my Shavuot, I go, it's Shavuot. And Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, that's not till this weekend. I know a lot of people go by different calendars. It's all about which Sabbath. Is it the first Sabbath or the weekly Sabbath? I choose to believe that it's by the weekly Sabbath, and most of the people I talk to believe. But now my wife, she was saying, well, it's Wednesday, and that's what the rabbis have been saying. I said, well, actually, I'll give you a real brief on this. Here's why I don't believe in that. Because I did research on it because I wanted to be really, really right. And so checking it out, the rabbis used to go with it always had to be on the first day of the week. But that was changed a long time ago, because the reason I got from my research was the fact that Christianity was taking over the holiday. And so they decided to switch it to the first Sabbath, which, you know, would be a high Sabbath instead of the weekly Sabbath. And that changed it because they didn't want it to fall on the same day. Now, that's the research that I got. But tonight's program, it really isn't about that. I'm excited to talk about the Bible codes. Back to you.
Yes. Yes, I've been, you know, I've had, this is sort of an interesting time, and you know, we talked about it last time and said, yes, it's going to happen in 2021. And so we have a lot of time to get this stopped. I was wrong. I was really wrong. I did another code, and I was really, really wrong. A lot of you know Donald Trump just went to the Middle East. He went to Saudi Arabia. We'll talk about that in a minute. Then he goes to Israel. Then he makes the trek over to the Palestinian Authority. After he gets done in Israel, he goes to see the Pope. You know, there's a pattern here. He talks to the Pope rather briefly, I'm surprised. It was almost like he didn't have much time for it. It was just like he was going through the motions on something. And then he goes to Brussels, Belgium. And then from Brussels, Belgium, he goes down to Sicily. And everybody's saying, why in the world is, why these places? This is his first trip out of the country. His first time making official state visits. And he goes to these countries. And I have yet to see any media source figure this out. What are they doing? What is really behind what he's doing? Well, turns out I ran a code. In fact, if you go to BibleCodes.co and you click on Final Temple, and you go to the very first page, I have a whole bunch of pictures on there. And so he goes to Saudi Arabia. Sure enough, it's all in here, all in this code. He goes to Saudi Arabia. They sign a $110 $110 billion defense treaty, which, yes, it's going to put a lot of people back to work, and hopefully a lot of that's in Wichita, because I know you guys have some airplane plants there, if I remember right.
Well, excuse me, just a brief thing about Wichita. Actually, I don't know now, but as far back as I know, 15 years ago, Wichita, Kansas was the air capital of the world. We built more airplanes than anybody. That's been diminishing over the last 15 years. Back to you.
I see this defense treaty and this big purchase, and I mean, this is a massive purchase. They're buying a lot of stuff. But Trump has good reason for letting him buy all this stuff, because you go across that Persian Gulf, there's Iran. And for many, many years, Iran has been just furious because Saudi Arabia, which is Sunni Islam, Iran's Shiite Islam, they both consider each other heretics, and they're worthy of death on both sides. They both think that. But the biggest thing is Saudi Arabia has limited Shiite access to Mecca for a very long time, and it's really created a lot of problems between these two countries, enough that Iran has threatened to invade Saudi Arabia so they can go to Mecca and take that back.
Okay, just let me butt in here real quick. Explain to the people about what is in Mecca that is so astounding that they want access to, that they would be willing to go to war over it.
Okay, one of the five pillars of Islam is that you make a pilgrimage to Mecca. Both sides believe that. In fact, every different sect of Islam believes this. And basically, Saudi Arabia, by limiting their access, is actually, in the Islamic mind, condemning them to hell because they didn't complete these five pillars.
Right.
And so they are ready to go to war to change that so that they will have access to Mecca, not only for the leaders, but for everyone.
Right.
And it's going to become an issue, and it will be more so because the Iranians are furious over this. I saw some news reports just the other day, and they were screaming over this. And now Trump has thrown a monkey wrench into their works, because Saudi Arabia already has one of the most modern armies in the world, and now Trump is willing to up that. And his second trip is connected to that, because the Saudi Arabians can't talk to Israel directly.
Right.
But they're willing to talk to Trump, and Trump's people will become intermediaries so they can talk, because Saudi Arabia really needs Israel's help. They need it on a lot of scales. They need their help in their air force, which means if Israel ever does decide they're going to bomb Iran, they now have airspace they can go through to get there. They don't have to mess with Jordan. They don't have to mess with Iraq. They now have Saudi Arabia, because they do connect.
Right.
And actually, Jordan has never objected to Israel using its airspace. In fact, they've sort of liked it, because it keeps Iran and Russia and other nations out.
Right.
So it's not, neither country is objected. But you see these little interconnectivities, all these little items that are moving in and changing how the world thinks. And now Trump adding all this equipment. And also, I got a feeling they didn't say it publicly, but I think the Egyptian president was there to sign off on the deal, too. Because Egypt...
not to interrupt, but you know that President Trump has also had talks with the Jordanian president, of course, and he's been talking to all these countries, because before he goes and tries to make a peace deal with the Palestinians, he needs the backing of these countries in order to get them to help calm the Palestinians. You understand what I'm saying? But they can't calm one, and that's Hamas, which is backed by who?
The Iranians. And, well, what's happened now, the Palestinian Authority exists only because the Saudi Arabians are willing to pay for it.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes I think the Saudi Arabians have more money than sense, or more dollars than sense. And they've thrown money at just about everything, and every one of these princes is just incredibly loaded with money. And they're willing to pay for these things. And some of them have even paid for ISIS, but I think Trump sort of cut that money pool off. So you're going to get all this stuff from us. You can't be handing it to ISIS. So that was another big thing that I'm sure Trump made as a condition of this deal, is you can't be doing this funny stuff. Mr. Obama might have gone for it, but I don't. And so you know, they did a lot of things in Saudi Arabia. And maybe the most curious one, and I even have a page on my picture on my website about it, is a picture of Trump, King Salman, and I can't even remember the, I have his name up here, Abd al-Fattah el-Sisi, president of Egypt, all of them touching this white orb. That was very curious to me.
And it's, before you add any more about that, the biggest thing that raises a question about that to me is when I saw it, you know what I mean, when I first saw it, heard about it, what I expected the internet to, my box to be blasting with things about what it was and what a cultic thing and all this. But, you know, while there's a few things out there, there's not much of anything out there about it. That's kind of curious in itself, isn't it?
It's amazing what they let out and what they did not let out. Well, I started deciding there's something to this. So I went into the code and looked for it. And sure enough, orbs right in the middle of the code. I'm going, oh, what's the deal here? So then I started doing a little hunting, because this makes me think. I start looking also at another two words that came into these codes. The worst one is Pleiades, which is mentioned twice in Job. First in Job 9:9, and then there's practically all chapter 32 is all about Pleiades and Orion. And I started wondering, these guys are trying to move forces. And I'm going, what is going on here? They're trying to make some kind of a play. And the Masonic lodges have done this kind of stuff for years and years. But when I started looking and, you know, actually doing the Bible research on it, it's not codes. This is just plain old Bible research.
Right.
Digging the Bible up. And I'm not quite ready to do codes on these things yet, because I don't know enough.
Right. That could be dangerous in itself. And see, that's why I say you make a very credible person to do this work, because you do the other work first that you need to know before you can go into it. Because if you ran a code and you didn't have it, it's all in how, you know, the knowledge. You have to have the other knowledge in order to understand what it's talking about, right?
Yeah. And so we go to Job 9, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without without number. Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth on also, and I perceive him not. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who shall say unto him, what doest thou? If God will not withdraw his anger, proud helpers do stoop under him. You know, you're starting to see the plan with forces here. So I went to Job 32, which I think he was, you know, I saw this and I think, wait a minute, Tom. What are these guys playing with? What are these guys really playing with? Oh, Job 38. I made a mistake there. Yeah. And then here it goes. 38:31. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Saying, what are we trying to do? Are we trying to loose some of these nasty little evil spirits? I'm going, guys, you don't know what you're playing with here.
Stop right there for a minute. We're going to go to break in less than a minute. And you're right. I don't think they, nobody knows the extent of evil, what it really is. But I got a lot. We'll talk about it when we get back. Please give the website so they can find you, and then we'll come back and talk some more.
We're talking right here from BibleCodes.co, and then click on the final temple over on the right side, and you'll be taken right to this. Get a chance to read it while we're on break. It's not very
good. Yeah, that'd be real good. That'd be real good, folks. And they've got the if you haven't seen the picture of Trump and these other two with the orb, you got to see it. And I think that, what does that face look like on Trump, folks? And if you got an answer, email me. Anyway, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Massage Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, one good news I want to give you real quickly for you radio folks out there. We used to use a booker that used to book find new guests for us, and he quit working, but now he's working again, and he just called me today and said, hey, you know, he'd help me do some bookings. And so that means he was always good at finding us new and different guests. So praise the Father about that. Anyway, but remember, support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. People, men, women, and children from all walks of life. But today, I want you to strongly, excuse the tongue-tiedness, consider something else today. Well, today, we start, it's June 1st, that's why I said, wow, it's the first of the program, June 1st, we start our 18th year of doing the Wichita Mission Church today. Over the years, we've been funded by the newsletter and mail-out newsletter in a couple other little ways, not much from Wichita, but right now that's shifted to most support comes from those who listen to radio. Yes, people just like you. So radio is what I need to keep us going. This was pointed out to me by a person who donated this workhorse computer that we use for most of our work. Well, he pointed out that it's as old as 8 years old. And I went, oh, really? And I've been wondering, as it seems like it is time to replace it. Well, my mixer board is also out, is going out, as well as a few other things. In fact, I don't see how my how it works, because one of these three-prong plugs is completely gone, and yet it still works. Anyway, so we need a new mixer board and a couple other things. And so this is the time that we need to do this. Now, we've been on doing radio since 2001 and on this station since 2004. And I don't have any plans on stopping in the near future. And so we need to replace the equipment, and we need to pray in donations. It needs to be slotted for just radio. Now, don't take this out of any kind of a normal donation that you might give us, you know, for support for the Wichita Mission Church. But remember, radio supports the Wichita Mission Church. And it also warns the good and the bad of the times that we're in. And that's also fulfilling scripture. So pray about this. We need at least $1,500 for radio equipment. And part of that's a computer, a mixer board, and some other things. And I'm curious why. If you're curious why we never started video, well, we had offers of sending this or that or some things that we needed, and they said, well, they're on their way, and guess what? They never came. Well, those things that, in order to replace the things that was promised to start video, we need to raise at least another $1,100 for that. So just pray about it, and I'm not at, I know that some folks have money, others don't. Prayers mean everything. Anyway, and remember, so June 1st, and pray about it. Anyway, it's also, yes, let's do that. It's June 1st today, and so radio airtime, too. So, we need, but also at the Wichita Mission Church, I want you to pray for something to happen for the women in Wichita, because they lost their shelter. So pray about something for that. I don't care if we do it or somebody else does it. Somebody needs to do it. So why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love, that's the first answer. They're treated as family. Second, beyond that, we have no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need. That's the rule. And when we don't have the way to fill it in, we pray it in. That's why even the agencies tell all their employees about the Potter's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People have millions of dollars in their budget, send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many, and folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are a brother's keeper. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. Again, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio or radio airtime, as it's not free, and donations is what keeps us on the air. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com, at prophecyhour.com, or you can call me if you need to, if you need to figure it out. And now we're talking about really important Bible codes about maybe a false temple. We call it, I think we've been calling it the Trump Temple. But we're now back with Tom Mack. Are you there with me, Tom?
Yes, I am. I want to explain something to people, because I started to realize as I was talking, maybe I'm giving people the wrong impression. One, I've been a Trump supporter almost from the beginning. So is my son. Two, I'm a member of the Las Animas County Republican Party Central Committee. I've been behind him all the way. And I think he has done wonderful things for this country. Today he was just a very good example, pulling out of those retarded Paris Accords. Because why should we pay our hard-earned tax money to finance some pie-in-the-sky theory that's been disproven?
Yeah, amen. Let me say one thing about that, and I was going to bring it up on this program, but I will because you brought it up, and I'll make it quick. The one thing that I found amazing, and if people, if you haven't listened to it, you should listen to what he said out in front of the White House. The Paris Treaty has nothing really to do with climate change. It had to do with bringing down America, wealth redistribution. They said China could keep doing coal, America couldn't. Other countries could keep doing these other kinds of energy things. America couldn't. But America was to pay them wealth for them to keep doing all the pollution. And the only thing that people this was on was America, basically, if you listen to what Trump said. So it was all about the destruction and the getting rid of jobs and the bringing down of America, and it had nothing to do with really climate change, as they said that even the scientists said there was really less than even 1%, 1/10 of a percent, some crazy number of what it would change in the climate if we gave them all this money and we quit doing coal. So it was all about bringing down America, and Trump stood up for America today, no matter what his critics said, and he stood up and he did a good job. Back to you, Tom.
Yes, I just saw that, and I was pleased. And this is why I supported him, because he's the only one that was offering any kind of change, whether it's the other 15 Republican candidates or Hillary Clinton. It was more of the same, more of the same, more of the same. And I just, that's why I'm so concerned about this. And
right.
I will put it publicly on record. I will go to Washington. I will sit down with Mr. Trump personally. I will explain all this to him. I am willing to do that. I'm so concerned about this. If he engages in this temple thing, it will bring disaster to America. Because the things that are in these codes, he's talking about little temples inside the big temple for Chemosh. He's talking about Molech. When Solomon did it, and you can go read it in First Kings 11. When Solomon did it, God whipped the nation of Israel into two parts, and 10 of the tribes flew away from the house of David. And the only reason the house of David was preserved was because of the righteousness of David. And I'm sorry, this nation has never had a president that was even close in righteousness to David. Not
right.
One. So
right.
I can't imagine what the Lord would do with us if we do this abomination.
Well, let me ask a question here, and this is
sure.
what's been on my mind. I tried to kind of bring it in at the first, but it didn't. But what's really driving me up the wall about it? Now, listen, you and I know both, and I'm not trying to offend anybody out there, but you know, I read my Bible, and to me, it's really, really pretty plain that Yeshua is going to be the Messiah, is going to be the one to build the Ezekiel temple. Okay. People call that the final temple. We won't go into that because, you know, we have Revelation 21 to deal with, but we're not going to go over that road. But the point is, so is there a temple that should, does the Bible say, there's the kicker, does the Bible say someplace else directly that there is another temple to be built that the Antichrist would have to sit in? Now, before you answer that, let me go on. I had a Carl Gallup's come on with me, who thinks much like I do, and he explained it, you know, about what else this could be besides a temple. That, in his opinion, and he's a pretty good Bible scholar, that there wouldn't be another temple, and there's no direct scripture that says that there is a temple to be built. Well, okay, if the Bible doesn't say that there's a temple supposed to be built, and you attempt to build a fake temple, you see where I'm going with it? So what is it? I mean, you know, is there, I mean, are we in this dilemma? If there is a scripture that says that there will be a fake temple, how wrong would we be to try to stop Trump? You know what I'm saying? Because if the Bible says it, we're not going to do anything about it anyway. So I'm back and forth. I agree with you. He should get a warning. I love the guy, and it's for our country. But, see, there's a lot of roads at this. Back to you. I'm going to bow to you on this question. I've been waiting for you to get on to ask it.
Okay, well, here's the first thing. One, I feel my duty is to warn him. Ezekiel says if the watchman doesn't warn the people when trouble comes, he's guilty. But if he warns the people and they don't change, it's not on him anymore. It's on the people.
Right.
They bear their own sin.
Ezekiel 33:6.
Yes. And I saw that, and that just stuck out to me. You know, I would prefer somebody else, somebody in Europe, somebody else do this.
Yeah.
Let them deal with it. And I like Donald Trump. I really do. I like him as a person. I think he's really trying hard to do the best that he can for this country. But I, on the other hand, I know this would be the biggest building project he ever did. And this
right.
man has made his career out of building buildings and being successful with it.
Right, amen, and like you expressed to me, well, you know, what if, I mean, a building project, after a while, I think he is going to get all this garbage settled down about him. I think he will end up being settled into presidency, you know what I mean, to where he could do something like this. And so with his mind off of some of these other things and maybe a peace agreement came to, how could he resist? You know what I'm saying? He's a builder. That's what he does. Build a allow, help the temple to be built? Wow.
And, but this is one he's got to say no on. You know,
There's that. Now, wait a minute. And now there's that. I agree with you. Look, if it's not in the word, if it's absolutely not in the word that there's absolute, and I can't really find any conclusive proof that it says there absolutely will be a false temple built. And if that is indeed the case, then absolutely he shouldn't build it. But what if, Tom, what if we're wrong, because we all see through a cloud darkly, and there is a temple for the Antichrist to sit in, a false temple, if you will, who's to say that Trump isn't the guy to allow that to happen so Messiah can come? Back to you.
Yeah. Okay, well, I was just giving
you both sides.
Yeah, I'm glad you did, because now I can explain it a little bit. The place where everybody runs to is Paul, where he talks about the man of sin sitting in the temple declaring himself God. But the word temple there in that is the word, or the Greek word naos, and he uses it about 12 times. But the other times, what is he talking about? He's talking about the temple of our body, not a physical temple. Because the temple existed in Paul's time. What did Paul do that got him in so much trouble? He went into the temple. He shaved off his head and went in the temple. And that infuriated everybody. And that's why he got arrested. So it's not talking about a new temple. To him, he didn't even realize the old one was going to be destroyed. He never made any indication that it would be. I'm sure he was aware of Jesus' Olivet Discourse. But Jesus didn't put a time marker on it. So they didn't realize it would. In fact, he died before it ever was destroyed. So in his mind, it was always going to be there. So when Paul talks about naos, he's not talking about a physical temple. He's talking about the temple of our body. And
that being the case, and I'm not in disagreement with you, I felt that a very, very, very long time ago, and that's what basically Carl said also. And so you've got two other people in agreement with you. But, you know, he is already in the temple of many, many people's body declaring himself to be God and ruling over them. Is the Satan not doing that already?
Yeah, he does it every day. In fact, you know, people do have deliverance ministries just to get Satan out of these people's lives.
Like Omega Man.
Yeah, Omega Man's a good example, but not the only one. But, you know, these guys, we've done this, and that's what he's talking about there. He's not talking about it. And one of the things, I guess I'm going to really get out on a limb and start saying these things. I noticed, because the first guy who really started saying all this stuff was Hal Lindsey. He wrote The Late Great Planet Earth in 1970. Now, as a man in the publishing business, I found some things very interesting about that book. Number one, he hits the bestseller list, never having published a book in his life. And the book he did publish was his plagiarized notes from his classes. So he wasn't really teaching anything new. Yet nobody from Dallas Theological Seminary was allowed to object. That's number one. Number two, if you look back in his background, he says he was a tugboat captain on the Mississippi River in New Orleans. And I've been down there a few times. I know you don't just get to be a tugboat captain when you're in your 20s.
Right.
You work as a deckhand for years, and then maybe you might become a captain. So something doesn't fit there unless you're connected with the CIA and you're bringing drugs into this country, which is the only way that would fit.
Right.
The second thing, he suddenly goes, from there he goes to a church in Houston run by another CIA person, R.B. Thien, whose biggest claim to fame was you weren't a Christian unless you attended his church or a church like his. Okay?
Right.
You know, then he goes to Dallas Theological Seminary, of course, with Reverend Thien's backing and approval. He graduates there, sort of bounces around a while, allegedly writes this book. Actually, Carol Carlson wrote it, because the one time he actually published something of his own, which he did without ghostwriting, it was terrible. And you look at the layouts of this book, you look at the advertising for this book, and also the fact that somebody had the money to buy 30,000 copies the first day to get it on the bestseller list. And you start asking yourself, where did all the money come from? This is not cheap.
Right.
I want to put one of my books on the bestseller list. I got to buy 30,000. And that's a lot of money. You know,
right.
I'm dropping about $250,000 if I'm lucky to do that. And then what am I going to do with the books afterwards? Because what publishing companies hope is that by vaulting to the top of the bestseller list, it gets people interested. Well, back in 1970, Christian books never hit the bestseller list. And so when one did, everybody had to get a copy. So in that case, Zondervan was lucky. Zondervan was able to recoup their investment and pay back who I think was their creditor, the CIA. And suddenly they have a best-selling book, and this guy just rattles off about four big bestsellers off of the, because he's suddenly famous, he's suddenly going around the country, he's getting a lot of publicity, and churches are picking up on it too.
Right.
And suddenly in the 1970s, I used to remember people carried around his books almost like they were little decoder keys to the Bible.
Right.
And I just...
You know, and part of what that book promoted, you know, which is the CIA, and it would be ecstatic is it promoted promoted that something was going to happen, the things that were going to happen, they said, well, don't worry about it because you're going to be gone, so there's no reason to, guess what, buy guns and prepare. Back to you.
Yes, and so here we are, we're talking pre-trib rapture, which I won't talk about now.
Yeah, and that's a subject.
All of its own. And in any case, I looked at these things, and I started looking at some of the other guys that are talking about this. And amazingly, the CIA is a common denominator. And then the other key that hit me was back in 1959, the Brookings Institution actually published a paper that said that they needed to adjust the thinking of conservative Christian churches.
Yeah.
Gee, do they just say that just to sound good or something? Or was there a nefarious idea there? Remember who the CIA director was in those days? Alan Dulles. Who, if you run Alan Dulles and Satanism, you get 2,000 hits on a Google search. Now, I mean, and a lot of people just think that Alan Dulles was behind the Kennedy assassination. I don't, but a lot of people do. And he sat on the Warren Commission to make sure that none of the truth came out. So suddenly, we're seeing somebody very evil finding a way to worm into the Christian system and change how people thought.
Right.
And this is, boy, I didn't really think I was going to get on to this, but suddenly we have a whole body of theology which is nonsensical, unscriptural, yet people believe it because he sold a best-selling book.
Right.
And you know, we have to be more careful with these things. We have to do our own research. We just can't believe what these guys say.
Right, amen. And they even have an easier access now. They don't even have to, while they still are doing books, but they now have internet, you know what I mean, that they can spread it all over. And by the way, the late, great Planet Earth, I bet I can walk into almost any major city, walk into almost any used bookstore or, secondhand store, and there will be a copy. If they sell used books, there's a copy of that book in there.
I would believe it. I don't go into used bookstores. I just buy them online. And
well, you know, I used to a lot.
And it's, you know, the book business is, back then, was sort of static in how you do things.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And what better way? I mean, come on, folks. They influence the word. That's what they do. And that's just why now you've got to be so careful of the internet, because you're still doing the same thing, influencing your words, where you get your knowledge from. Okay, we've got about a minute and a half left. So, I know. You're used to being on Omega Man's program that has 3 hours. He can do 2 or 3 hours. We're not allowed to do it. We don't have that.
I know. But, if we ever, you know, I think the Lord wanted this out today.
Well, amen. I believe he did. That's why I pray before the program to put it in his hands.
Yeah, I was praying with a lady this morning, and she was almost saying, it's not going to be what you think, Tom. And she's a lady I respect an awful lot. Well, and amen. When she tells me something like that, Tom listens.
Yeah, amen. Well, Tom, you need to tell them where that website is one more time, and I got to get you out of here so I can get out of here.
Okay, it's BibleCodes.co for Colorado. Not C-O-M, but C-O. And we're also, my big one is WhiteStoneFoundation.org, and I have a lot of things other than Bible Code research on there.
You have about the Antichrist, and you have Heaven's Music.
Yes, and one of these times we have to do a show and play music.
We can do that. I love music, and we can do that for a change of pace. I'll arrange it. But anyway, I got to get you out of here. You be blessed, my brother, and we'll stay in touch, and you'll be back on soon. So you be blessed.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, you be blessed. Bye-bye. Well, folks, that was Tom Mack, Bible Coach. Remember, pray about an upgrade for this office, meaning for my computer, before it goes south because it's so old, and, you know, for the other equipment that we really do need dearly, so you can keep hearing us on radio. Remember, we have no products to sell. We're only on the air because the Father has worked on your heart to help us out. But remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. and through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing for others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, Father, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.